Now there's a sure and effectual result of grace. And I mean grace working within a sinner. There is a sure, effectual result of grace. And that is, the believer will praise God through Christ Jesus the Lord continually. And he will praise God for Christ Jesus the Lord. Praise is not an emotional work thing you work up, and you know, I could persuade you to cry. I could present some Jesus to you that would get you all sentimental and fuzzy, and you might think that's praise or worship or making a confession. True praise is giving God all the glory in salvation. For what he has done, what he is doing, and what he shall yet do. Isaiah was sent forth with the gospel, and he was declaring that the end of national Israel was coming. He declared that the true King, Christ Jesus, the Son of David, was coming in the flesh to take his rightful throne. And Isaiah, as he looked toward that day, the age, gospel age in which we live, and as he looked toward that final glory, that day of final glory, his heart burst forth into praise for God. And let's read what he said here in the first five verses of Isaiah 25. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For Thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defenced city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear Thee. For Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. The first thing I want you to see this morning is the confession of faith. The confession of faith. Isaiah says in verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. The Lord, Jehovah, that's mentioned in this text here, is God incarnate, the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Savior. In verse 23 of chapter 24, one verse up there, he said, Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. We saw this last time. For the sun and the moon and the stars, all the spiritual light given to that one nation in Israel, the very things that once had been to them symbols of heavenly power and favor, were shaken to the very foundation and became to them a snare and a stumbling block when Christ came the first time. And so it shall be in the whole earth when he returns again. Our King, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of Jesse, the Son of David, came forth just as Isaiah said he would. And he established his spiritual kingdom in righteousness and in judgment. And he converts sinners in righteousness and in judgment. And he reigns from his throne in glory over his spiritual nation right now. If you read Revelation 20 at your leisure, we're in that age, but it's not some future time afar off that's going to be some thousand-year reign. It's happening right now. It is right now. He reigns before his ancients gloriously. When he died and laid down his life and rose again, the graves were opened. and those that had been beheaded and those that had died prior to His resurrection were raised with Him then. And they sit before Him right now and see Him in all His glory and all His majesty. And not only that, but those who are born of His Spirit reign right now in this earth as kings and priests unto God. And by faith, we see the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things not seen, and we see Him reigning gloriously. And we're His ancients because He loved us from eternity, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Look at verse 8 here. Chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. He's talking about His people. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, our God. And He's coming again, brethren. And when He comes the second time, He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth only righteousness, only that which He's made, which He's created. Believers sanctified in body, soul, and spirit, made conform to His image in perfect righteousness, brethren. And Isaiah says, that's who I'm. He says, verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. Now, here's the first thing. Faith confesses that Jesus Christ is God. And faith confesses that Jesus Christ is God our Savior. Faith confesses that Jesus Christ is God. And faith confesses that Jesus Christ is God our Savior. Jehovah of the Old Testament is the invisible Jehovah of the Old Testament. Is Christ of the New Testament, the express image. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the revelation of the true and living God. Christ is the Word of God. The man, Jesus of Nazareth, is Himself Almighty God. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. Now, I want you to realize that the Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Christ of the New Testament is God, our Savior. That's what faith confesses when it sees Him. Now, I hear men all the time, brethren, say, well, I was saved when I was in free will religion. But when I came to the doctrines of grace, I had to change my system of doctrine. Be very, very careful about that. Be very careful. We're fixing a reason not with you and tradition, but from God's Word. That was not the Apostle Paul's testimony. Paul claimed to be worshiping Jehovah before Christ came to him in power. That's who he claimed to be worshiping. Just like the free will man claims to be worshiping Jesus Christ, Jehovah Christ Jesus our Savior. But when he was truly born of the Spirit, Paul didn't merely change his doctrine. He changed his God. He found out who the true and living God was. And for the first time, he worshiped Jehovah, God the Savior, in Christ Jesus the Lord. For the first time, he said, those things that were gained to me, I now count them dung. Before, he had a form of religion, but he denied the power of God. Afterward, he confessed Christ, the power and wisdom of God. That's what Christ, the power and wisdom of God, does to sinners. Did you just hear the God we read about in Isaiah chapter 40, 41? That's who we're talking about. He's sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign when he enters the heart. Salvation's not changing from false doctrine to true. Salvation's not changing from one denomination to another. Salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes in power. Salvation comes in spirit. And salvation comes in truth. He makes sinners repent from our idols and believe on the true and living God. If you had power to send your son, somebody to declare your son, the truth of your son, you had the power to do it, you wouldn't stand for somebody declaring a lie about your son. God has the power to send forth those to declare the truth of His Son. The Jesus who died for all men without exception. That person, that Jesus who died for all men without exception is not the God of this Bible. It's not the Jesus of this Bible. It's not Jehovah God. That's not the God of this Bible. You will never hear the righteousness of God preached when that Jesus is preached, because to declare the righteousness of God, you have to declare God is just. He's justified His people, and that everyone He justified got to be saved. You will never hear that proclaimed. You can't hear that proclaimed, and yet men perish in hell for whom He died. That is another Jesus. That's not this Jesus. The Jesus who's depending upon man to make Himself holy is not the sanctifying Christ Jesus Jehovah of the Bible. You'll never hear that Christ preached where the other Jesus is preached. You'll never hear the true Christ preached where the other Jesus is preached, because then you have to take your hand off of yoking men. You have to take your hand off of yoking sinners. You have to say that I don't do anything in this thing of salvation. Christ is all. The Jesus who's done all He can but can't send forth the Holy Spirit to work effectually and make His sheep submit to Him and forsake all their idols is not the King of heaven and earth. Sorry. I'm not sorry. It's truth. He's not. Man's idol Jesus reveals nothing of God's holiness, His righteousness, His love, or any of the glory of God. Now, like I said to you, that Jesus can be presented to you in such a way and make you cry and make you feel warm and fuzzy and maybe make you come down to the front of the church or make a decision for Him. But that Jesus never saved anybody. That's not the Jesus of this Bible. Somehow in this world we can walk around and we can figure out what's a lie and what's true. We know what's black and what's white, but when it comes to this Word, we just won't admit it. Not till God, not till the true Jesus comes in. Then we will. That's what happened to Paul. Now I want to talk, let me give you this. I know that religious men are going to say, no, that's not so. You know, somebody from a preacher that may have been a faithful preacher said otherwise and what have you. I want to know what God says. I'm tired of men refuting what God says with what men say. I want to know what God says. God says, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Did He just say in Isaiah, that chapter we read before, He said, have you not heard? He has the power to make you hear. And He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Just any preacher. How shall they preach unless they be sent? Does God send liars? I wish you would look into the witnesses we have of every page of this Bible and show me one sinner God saved and used to write this Word that declared a lie. Would you find me one? He didn't use any liars, did He? He may use a man who is a liar and not saved, but when He's using that man, He's going to preach Christ. Paul said, some preach for envy and strife. And he said, I'm not rejoicing in them, but I'm rejoicing in this. While they're doing it, they are preaching Christ. The true Christ. Preaching the true doctrine of Christ. The doctrine that Paul believed. If that's not the case, who are antichrists, brethren? Who are false prophets? If a man can preach Christ who saves universally and who died for everybody universally but didn't save anybody, whose blood's not really effectual, who then is the Antichrist? Would you tell me that? That is Antichrist. If that's not Antichrist, I don't know what is. That's not the God of this Bible at all, brethren. But the point I'm making to you here is Zion, God's people, shall be redeemed with judgment. and His converts with righteousness. He said, I will give you pastors after my heart. And how precious are the feet of them that bring glad tidings, true tidings. You mix a little poison with bread, and it's poison bread. Now, I'm not saying that a man knows everything there is to know about God, but here's what we know about the Almighty saving Jesus Christ. We know that He's the all-sufficient Savior. He's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is all-sufficiency. That is everything you need to be accepted with God. And that's who this Christ of this Bible is. He's the effectual Savior. He's the God I'm declaring to you. The Christ I'm declaring to you is the one who said, I will call my sheep, and they will hear my voice, and they will follow me, and they will not follow a stranger. That's the effectual Jesus Christ who really does call and really does save. He said, no man's going to pluck them out of my hand. No man's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is the Christ. The Savior whom God has accepted. He didn't enter into a tabernacle made with hands. He entered into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, having obtained eternal redemption. When He had by Himself purged, totally taken away all the sins of His people, by Himself, by His one offering, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Because by that one offering, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. And He's the successful Savior. Listen to Isaiah 42:4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His word. If that's what, I don't know the titles men use and they label you with or whatever, but if that's what men call hyper-Calvinism, call me ultra-hyper-Calvinism. I'm as ultra-hyper-Calvinist as God is absolutely sovereign to send forth His pastors with the word of truth and effectually regenerate His people and bring them to a knowledge of Christ and believe on Him. That's how ultra-hyper I am about this. Just as absolutely sovereign as God is in salvation. All right, that's what faith is going to confess, that Christ is God and that He's God our Savior. Here's the second thing. Faith confesses that Christ is my Lord and my God. That's what He said here. O Lord, Thou art my God. You know, the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I fear that the problem men have with compromising this gospel and saying God saves some other way is that they're ashamed of the true and living God, the true and living Christ. Paul didn't have much of a problem with that. He said it's dung. It's dung. Thomas said he was doubting when the Lord ascended or when He was resurrected and He came to him. Thomas was doubting, but when he reached forth his hand and stuck his finger in the holes of His hand, he said, my Lord and my God. That's who He is. I want Him to be your personal Savior, but He better be your personal Lord and your personal God. Do you realize the opposition Isaiah faced in his day? He said, say ye not a confederacy to whom all these people say a confederacy. The whole religious host was saying a confederacy. Do you realize the hypocrisy Isaiah would have been guilty of if he would have said, say ye not a confederacy? But now I believe that confederacy is going to save me. I made that confederacy. I'm trusting in that confederacy. No. He said, O Lord, Thou art my God. My God. Well, that's the first thing, the confession of faith. Here's the second thing. Faith has a determination. Faith is determined to do one thing only. One thing only. I'm going to take all the things you've been taught in religion and all the big gulf of things you need to be doing. I'm going to bring them down now just to one thing. One thing. Here it is. Verse 1. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. That's an offering right there that is well pleasing to God, and He will receive that offering. He delights in that offering. I will exalt thee and I will praise thy name. Religion exalts man's will, man's intellect, man's seeking, man's work, man's worth. Religion exalts religion. Our provisions, our symbols, our prayers, our services, and so on. True faith exalts and magnifies and honors and praises God alone as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know the difference? It's not that difficult. That's the difference. By God's grace, dependent upon God, this is what the believer is determined to do. I will exalt thee. Salvation's of the Lord. God elected a people in Christ. He did it. It began with God. God predestinated them into the adoption into His household. God purchased, He redeemed His people by His own blood through the death of Christ Jesus our Lord. He regenerates, He calls the ones He's everlastingly loved. He preserves His people so that we persevere unto the end. He shall perfect us in body, soul, and spirit and raise us into glory with Him. Now that's from eternity to eternity. And He did it all. He did it all. The believer trusts Him in all our daily affairs too. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And the believer submits to His will in all things. That's what it is to exalt Him. To exalt Him. Salvation's of the Lord. In all my daily affairs, I'm casting my care upon Him. Whatever He's pleased to do, I'm pleased. That's exalting Him. I will praise thy name. Do you know His name? This is Jehovah Jireh. I am, the Lord will provide. We saw it when Abraham went up the mountain. The Lord will provide Himself a lamb. He provided Himself in the person of that lamb. That lamb's Christ Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We don't heal ourselves. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Nissi, I'm the Lord your banner. What flag are you flying when you're going forth into this battle, into this war? What flag are you flying? Well, we wouldn't think much of if we saw the Marines or the army going into the heat of battle flying the enemy's flag, would we? We fly the banner, Christ the banner, the flag. Jehovah Tsidkenu, I am the Lord your righteousness. Righteousness, justification, sanctification. Everything needed to be accepted with God, that's what He is. Your righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, I am the Lord your peace. Found any anywhere else? Found any anywhere else? Jehovah Shema, I am the Lord is there. He guards His city, His church. The Lord is there. I pray He's here. I think He's here. I believe He's here. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think He was here. I believe He's here. Jehovah Raya, I'm the Lord your shepherd. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm the Lord your shepherd. And in all these names of covenant grace, you know where they meet? They meet in one. Jehovah Jesus. Do you know that name's in Scripture? Go over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:3. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You know what the New Testament version of that is? His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. All these names meet in one. And faith's chief desire is, I will exalt thee and I will praise thy name. Did you realize that everything we just talked about in those names is everything you need? Is everything you need? Inwardly in my heart, publicly in my words, practically in my life, continually in my circumstances, I will exalt Thee and I will praise Thy name. Lord, give me grace to do it. That's my desire. Now here's the third thing. Why? Why does the believer confess Him? Why does the believer want to praise and exalt Him? What's the reasons? Verse 25. I'm sorry, Isaiah 25, 1. For Thou hast done wonderful things. That's why. For Thou hast done wonderful things. You know, He tells us what is on His mind here too. We don't have to wonder about what these wonderful things are. Look at the next line. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The casting off of national Israel, that wasn't a new thing to God. He wasn't reacting because they did something and He reacted to what they did. It's what He determined from old to do. Isaiah was sent forth to just tell them what He'd been telling them from the beginning. When you rebel against Me, I'm going to destroy your name and I'm going to take you out of the earth. He determined before to be done. The counsel of God's old as eternity. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father. This is God the Father. What did He do? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. When were we accepted? When He chose us in Christ, in the Beloved. Let me show you this. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy. Begin in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now watch this, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us when? In Christ Jesus before the world began. When Christ entered into suretyship for His people, by His Son's agreement to redeem them, the Father looked upon His elect as redeemed from then on. If you say from then on, it's eternal. And God the Holy Spirit entered into covenant to regenerate and to call and to preserve those elect redeemed children of God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want you to see these counsels of old. I heard somebody recently say that we shouldn't disagree with our Armenian brethren because of these matters that are not as important over matters that are important. Well, I beg to differ. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. That man's a liar who said that. He's a liar and don't know who this God is if he believes that in his heart. This is the gospel we preach. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning. Can we just see when that was? Before the world began? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Lord determined this would be beforehand. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit His counsels are of old, Isaiah said. That's when this thing was settled in eternity past. Here's another reason Isaiah gives. Back in our text there, verse 2. Isaiah 25:2. He says, I will praise and exalt you, not only because you made these counsels of old, because you're able to fulfill them. And how? Look at verse 2. For thou hast made a city of a city an heap, and of a disfit city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Everything that comes to pass in this world is God doing in time what He purposed to do before He made time. Do you realize that? God's faithfulness to His people is God fulfilling His own covenant word that He made with Himself before the world began. That nation Israel, that's an illustration. God created the nation Israel to illustrate what He does for His spiritual Israel. The text here speaks of Him destroying a city. He destroyed all those cities we've seen as we've studied through Isaiah. He destroyed all those cities. Those city-states that were the ruling power, He brought them to nothing. All of them. Took away the whole stay and staff from Judah. And then He used the king of Assyria to do that. Then He used the king of Babylon to punish Assyria's high looks. And then He destroyed Babylon. And then in 70 AD, He destroyed Jerusalem. What's He doing? And eventually He's going to destroy this whole earth right here with a fervent heat. What's He doing? When He destroys the nations of the world in His wrath, He's saving an elect remnant for the glory of His name. And that's what He shows us. Now, is that God not able to save? Is He not able to send forth the truth through His ministers? Oh, I think He is. When He saves it, you go back there to Isaiah 43. Patty and I were talking about this week. Isaiah 43, verse 3. Did you see what He said? I'm the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now listen to this. Listen to this God who loves everybody without exception, this universal God. Listen to the true and living God. Is this the God who loves everybody without exception? Listen. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. That's a nation full of people. Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Look down at verse 7. Even everyone that's called by my name, I'm going to call them from the four corners of the earth, those that I've chosen, for I've created him for my glory. I've formed him. Yea, I've made him. That's God. That's God. Some of these strong people are going to be made to bow by grace and saving faith, and some are going to be made to bow in the day of judgment. But they're all going to bow. Every knee's going to... He said, I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed in the day of the Lord. All the seed of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. He's going to save his people. And every knee's going to bow. These are the wonderful things for which we praise him, brethren. Now, here's the third thing. And I'll be brief. The third reason the believer praises God fully is because he fully provides for the believer in this world as he's fulfilling his purpose. Isaiah 25:4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Are you poor in spirit? Christ the Lord is strength. Is there anybody here that's needy, that's in distress? Is everything just perfect for you? Is anybody here needy, in distress? I mean need salvation. I mean need God to save them. Is anybody needy? He's the Lord's strength. Is the storm of God's wrath heavy upon you? It's the storm of affliction, the storm of this world, the storm of persecution. It's the storm of the fire of God's law and the heat and the hell of this earth. Is it heavy upon you? Christ Jesus the Lord is a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Have y'all ever heard Brother Jaime tell the story and Sister Sharon of them being in the boat when the big storm came up? They described it to me, and it reminds me of when Gilligan's Island comes on, you know. The little boat was tossed, and it was just tossed. Those waves were just breaking it and pushing it one side to the other, and water coming over the bow, and just nothing they could do about it. But you know what happens when that water hits a wall? It don't move it. It don't move it. That's who Christ is. He's the refuge. He's the wall. When they blast against the wall, they won't touch you. Just won't touch you. Not only do we praise Him because He's a refuge to us, but here's the last thing. We praise and exalt Him because He shall put down our enemies. He won't only save us from our enemies as they huff and puff and try to blow the house down, but He's going to put them down. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place. Even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones, shall be brought low. Strangers are those who hate our God and hate our gospel. That's just a simple definition of who strangers are. They're noisy. They may be religious. They're noisy. But He says, I'm going to bring down their noise. Our branch is Christ. And the believer is the fruit of the vine, the fruit of that branch. Their branch is Satan. But He shall bring the branch of the terrible ones low. This is what Paul said. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Very shortly. You know, we hear about this God and we think, who is not the servant of God? Well, the answer is nobody. There's not a person in this earth that is not serving God. The hater of God, the man who despises God, who don't want to have anything to do with God, is the servant of God, whether he knows it or not, whether he likes it or not. And when God's building a house, His house made of living stones, when you build a house, the carpenters come out there and they put all this scaffolding up all around it as they're laying those one brick, fitly framing those bricks together, putting them together, building them up, building it all together. From the foundation all the way to the top, all the scaffolding is around it to build it. And that's what those who hate God and despise this gospel, that's what they are. God will use them as scaffolding to build His church and to build up His people and to edify His people and to provide what His people need and to care for His people in this place right here, this church, and in your daily lives. That's what He's doing. And when He's finished, just like those carpenters take all the scaffolding down, and there's nothing left but the nice, big, beautiful house, so it will be in this world. When He's done, He's going to take all the scaffolding away. And the only thing that's going to remain is the house, the Lord of Jehovah Christ, God our Savior, has built by Himself. Now, let's bring this home to you. Now, have you confessed Christ? Are you exalting and praising His name? Are you at peace with God? You know the answer to these questions. Are you at peace with God? Are you resting in what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do? Everything that you've heard here today is the truth of the wonderful Savior who's worthy to be praised. Everything that I've told you today, there's nothing about what I've told you about this God that's unworthy of anybody's praise. He's worthy to be praised. What was that statement we read the other day that Robert Hawker said about He's the only one in whom there's not something we would change. Our dearest loved ones, there's something about them we would change, but not Him. There's nothing about this God that the believer would have changed. He is perfect, worthy to be praised. It's the God of the Bible. This is the God of heaven and earth, the God you will face. I can say that unreservedly. Everybody in this room will face this God. So do you believe on Him and renounce all else as dumb? If you don't, then why? And that's a question that you need to really think about. If not, then why? Why not? If you come before Him trusting in you, your noise shall be brought down. It will be brought down. But if you come by faith in His Son, He's going to give you this song that He gave Isaiah in manifold reasons to praise Him with great joy forevermore. Isn't it amazing that you can hear that and just say, well, I'm going to go on back and go back to this vomit. I'm going to go on back to this dung. I'm going to go on robing myself in these filthy rags. Just hope God will receive me when I present all this to Him. That just is insane, isn't it? That is insane. I pray God will give you grace and make you to behold Him as He is so that you forsake all else for Him. It'll be the greatest day of your life from then on for everlasting.